Welcome to the July 5th Sunday worship service of New York Church. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your providing this wonderful Sunday and also Lord's presence before us. Father God, visit us with your word, with your spirit. Enlighten our heart and delight our mind that we can focus on your word and also we can live by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the third installment of the trilogy of Red, and title is A Red Doorpost. Reading of Holy Scripture comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and the bread made without yeast. This is how you are to eat. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people. You and the Israelites go worship the Lord as you have requested." The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked a cake of unleavened bread. The dough was without the yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have to prepare food for themselves. Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then they may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male eat of it. And on that day, very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. Amen. 3 points. Think within the house. Think outside the house. Think by the doorpost of the house. First, think within the house. Some few years back, I had an opportunity to spend a short period of time where electricity was a scarcity. One thing that I quickly learned was that after the sun goes down, everything becomes very hard and laborious. That you take care of your major house chores before the night sets in, particularly your last meal. You really get to appreciate the morning and the breakfast. With that backdrop in mind, let me read Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. "All the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." Think about it. Then they carried the slaughtered lamb all the way home, make fire, prepared and roasted the meat, not allowed to boil in water. Eat with a biscuit like unleavened bread. Side dish is bitter herbs. I don't know about you, but this Passover combination of food does not look delicious at all to me. I wouldn't be surprised that I would have heard some grumblings from the people who are involved in the ritual. We have a tendency to gather our thoughts based on what I see, hear, touch, taste within the house, and formulate my sense of reality and experience within the house only from the immediate social surroundings. So we complain and feel miserable over my life, conditions, and situations within the house. But the thing outside the house, the reason they were grateful, the Israelites were grateful, was not that they had a different taste, but to relish the Passover food combo. They appreciate what they were given when they think outside the conditions within their house. What they were given is more than food. It is the life to live a new life. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 through 30. Like Jonah in the deep, in the stenches of a fish gut, I am being surrounded by unseemly objects and people, even. I don't see anything but pitch, darknesses, and no prospect in the end. I'm very uncomfortable in my situations, but still God gave this fish to swallow me up, keeping me from being drowned and dead. When Jonah assessed his fish god situations outside the fish god, big fish, he was able to say thanks and began to praise the Lord. He had to think outside of the fish in order to appreciate his being, his condition, however uncomfortable it may be, but still he was able to garner the Thanksgiving items within it. Third, think by the doorpost of the house. But that is not enough to come to the real meaning of a Passover, because Passover is more than feeling lucky and fortunate. We need to switch our focus from the self and the immediate surroundings within the house and to the reason and the source of their salvation, the blood on the doorposts of the house. Exodus chapter 12, verse 42 says, because the Lord kept the vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. Yes, my situation in the house is not perfect at all, and continue to annoyingly uncomfortable, dealing with the same set of issues and peoples within the house. But I am safe and safeguarded because someone paid the price of my safety on behalf of me, in this case, with his innocent life. How did the smearing of the lamb's blood shield my life and the loved ones in the house of family and of court, church, God in church? It's not that the animal's blood had a magical power, but the animal blood smeared on the doorpost was the Father's promissory note to the seekers of justice that in due time my son will pay it all. So John chapter 1 verse 36 highlighted Jesus as God's Passover lamb. When he saw Jesus passing by, John said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So Jesus freed me out of the bondage of slavery under Egypt. He purchased me to be his servant, brother and sister and friend. My life's worth should not be measured by the object nor treatment that I receive within the house. Neither does it justly weighed by the weight of the physical life saved in comparison to the lives lost at the outside the house. When you do that, you are trivializing the death and the sacrifice of the Son of God, Jesus. since you are being saved by the life of Jesus, now you are given the life of a resurrection. Jesus did not die to elongate your physical life on earth. Jesus died so that his new life, Jesus' new life, the resurrected life, the everlasting life, can live through your physical life only. This is what Paul meant when he writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Please measure the worth of your life by the weight of the blood at the doorposts and live the life worth of that blood. Jesus at the doorpost is the only protection that separates you from the destruction outside the house and the complaint and unhappy feelings within the house. You and I have to switch the focus of our life's attention away from within the house and outside the house. You and I constantly discipline the mind's disposition, orientation, and sense of happiness, yearning, and my drive from the blood of our doorpost, Jesus Christ, his cross and resurrection. This life at the doorpost is the backdrop of Jesus saying in John chapter 1, verse 7, I will tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and to out. Find pastures. 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This Jesus is knocking your mind's door to think, judge, discern by the blood of his sacrifice. Please reorient it and orient your thought at Jesus and from Jesus and at his blood of Jesus Christ at the doorpost and from the blood of Jesus Christ at the doorpost. Meditate on the blood. Reflect on Jesus and the meaning of it and his depth, width, height, length, until it permeates your thoughts and thinking, your actions, and your life story and your talks. Be oozed out of this Jesus and his blood. It has saved you, and it will save you. And it will save your family, your marriage, your church, and your loved ones. As a matter of fact, this is only blood that is capable, that is powerful, that is caring, that is worthwhile, that will let you live the everlasting life from the platform of your earthly life at present moment. Focus on the doorposts and begin to judge and discern and measure the word within your heart and outside your heart by the blood at the doorposts. Thank you, Jesus, for giving this message and remind us how powerful it is, the power of your blood, and how painful it must have been, not only the first time that you bear the cross at the cross, crucifixion site, but continually being rejected and being ignored, slighted by us. That we are so focused on, entrapped in our within the house thinking, and that we are so lost in our mindless pursuit of the outside house. Lord Father God, bring us back to the doorposts and nail our earlobes and make us to be your servant. Bind our heart at the doorposts. Set our heart by the blood at the doorposts, that we can be a conduit of your blood blessings to our family, to our church, to our community, and to my life. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and loving kindness and fellowship be upon us as we continuously focus on orienting our heart from the blood of the doorposts and at the blood of the doorposts. May you reign our heart from the blood of the doorposts. May you reign our world from the blood of the doorposts. Amen.